Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, March 11, 2024. This morning I will talk about the mission. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Beloved Lord Jesus, all praise and honor, power and dominion, truth and justice are yours, because you work to unify the nation of Israel and to save us from our sins. Be ever near. Forgive our myopia, our preoccupation with the minutiae of our own private lives, and unwillingness to consider those around us. Be ever near. Thank you for the gift of your life and ministry among us, that we might be reconciled with our families, friends, and neighbors, and reconciled with you. In the power of your Holy Spirit, teach us to love the things that you love. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, we read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the oppressed, to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn." The Gospel of Matthew offers at least three visions of Jesus' mission. The first is theological, as prophesied and encompassed in his name. "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This is Matthew 1:21. The second is more political. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." This is Matthew 15:24. Both visions require a deep understanding of the Old Testament. A third vision is captured in the citation above. Jesus' affinity for Isaiah 61 shows up in his call sermon in Luke 4 and his paraphrase of the same in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. The mission context of Jesus' name is hidden in translation. The name Jesus is a Greek translation of Yeshua that arises because Greek has no SH sound to transliterate the Hebrew. Yeshua's call is informative. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel." This is Joshua 1, verse 2. While Joshua led the people of Israel out of the desert into the promised land, Jesus leads his people out of bondage to sin into heaven. The idea of the atonement of Christ is best developed in the servant songs of the book of Isaiah. Dwayne Lindsay writes, "Jesus summarized his mission by affirming that even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is Mark 10:45. He sees the servant empowered with three tasks. First, effecting a new covenant for Israel. Second, being a light to the nations. And third, delivering the spiritually bound. These three tasks would not necessarily appeal to an ethnic Jew, because the special relationship between God and Israel would no longer be exclusive. Jesus' meeting with the woman at Jacob's well in Sychar was not accidental for at least three reasons. Taken together, these three reasons point to the objective of reunifying the nation of Israel. First, Sychar is in Samaria, which most Jews avoided. Jews routinely went out of their way to walk around Samaria when traveling north to Galilee from Judea. In order for Jesus to reunite the kingdom of David once again, Samaria and Judah must be reconciled. Casting a favorable light on Samaritans also shows up in Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10 and Jesus' healing of the 10 lepers in Luke 17. Second, Sychar was where Dinah, daughter of Jacob, was raped by Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite. Dinah's brothers, Simon and Levi, tricked Shechem and all the men of the city into being circumcised, presumably to marry Dinah. Then they killed them all while they convalesced. Because of this evil act and Reuben's sin in sleeping with one of Jacob's wives, Jacob later blessed Judah to lead the family. King David and Jesus were both of the tribe of Judah. Jesus' meeting with the woman at the well only serves as a mirror image of the story of Dinah. Instead of an unrighteous man raping an innocent woman, a righteous man heals an unrighteous woman. The importance of this symbolic act is perhaps why Jesus reveals his messiahship and the nature of true worship to the woman. In John 4:23-24 we read, "But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." It is ironic that Jesus' first evangelist would be a woman of Samaria, if reunification were not an important objective. Third, King Solomon's son, Rehoboam, planned to be coronated at Shechem, but because of poor judgment, he ends up provoking the northern kingdom to revolt. Jesus describes his mission as, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." While many viewed Israel as consisting of only the old nation of Judah, the United Kingdom of Israel under King David and his son Solomon consisted of both the northern kingdom, that is the 10 tribes also known as Samaria and Israel, and the southern kingdom, which consisted of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. Rehoboam planned to be coronated at Shechem, but because of an unwise decision about taxation, the northern kingdom revolted under the leadership of Jeroboam. Jeroboam worried that if the people continued to travel to Jerusalem to worship, they would return to King Rehoboam, so he cast 2 golden calves. He placed one at Bethel and the other at Dan. This act later was referred to as the sin of Jeroboam. The Samaritan religion he founded continues to exist today. In healing the woman at the well, Jesus effectively exorcised 2 national curses, the rape of Dinah and the division of Israel. For us, these stories appear as a template for pastoral care under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But for his immediate audience, Jesus was uniting the lost sheep of Israel. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.